It was still dark on that Sunday as Mary Magdalene went to the place where Jesus had been buried. It was dark in more ways than one. There was the matter of traveling well before sunrise when daylight has yet to appear on the horizon. But there was also the deeper darkness. The deeper darkness of grief and sorrow that haunted the hearts and minds of Jesus' followers. It was still dark on that Sunday, but that wasn't the first time the world had experienced darkness. Recall the creation account, where total darkness was described. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That darkness would be overcome by God's activity. As God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Without that divine action, the cosmos would have remained in darkness with no shape at all. God's activity established good order in accordance with his will. But that good order was also corrupted, not by God, but by mankind's sin. And that brought darkness back into the world. Not the orderly day and night that God had established, but something much worse, the chaos and suffering and guilt and all sorts of other things tied to sin. And the worst of those dark things being death itself. We have seen how that type of darkness spread through God's creation. The darkness of man's hearts led to the Lord's lament that he had even made humanity at all, and divine action to flush away that evil is what we read about in the flood account. Enslavement brought another form of darkness to God's people, and divine action was needed to free them from that bondage, as we heard in the Red Sea crossing account. Idolatry and setting oneself up to be divine also caused the dark persecution of the Lord's people. And once again, divine action was needed to protect God's people from death, as we heard in the account of the fiery furnace. In each of these events, the Lord acted to remove darkness from his people, but the results were temporary. Darkness would creep in again. An even greater divine act would be needed to truly resolve the situation. And we started hearing about that greater divine act months ago in our church year, months ago at Christmas, when we celebrated Christ's nativity, when we said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What that true light coming into the world would accomplish required him to also experience darkness. That is what we heard during Lent, especially the powerful details recorded within the account of Jesus' crucifixion. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. That event brought the darkness that was still felt on that Sunday before dawn. But it wasn't meant to remain dark on that Sunday. On that new eighth day, when the Lord once again declares, "Let there be light," and that declaration raises Jesus out of the tomb, but even more than that, it begins to fully restore the Lord's good order to creation and even sets it free from death. This is what we praised in the service of light that we held this evening. That this is the night when you brought our fathers, the children of Israel, out of bondage in Egypt and led them through the Red Sea on dry ground. This is the night when all who believe in Christ are delivered from bondage to sin and are restored to life and immortality. This is the night when Christ the life arose from the dead, the seal of the grave is broken, and the morning of the new creation breaks forth out of night. It was still dark for Mary Magdalene that Sunday before dawn, before she encountered the risen Jesus. But that darkness changes when the risen Jesus calls her by name, that instead of being lost and confused, thinking that Jesus is dead and having no clue where his body had been taken, Mary Magdalene instead went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Experiencing the truth of Jesus' resurrection changes darkness to light for her. We still await that experience that Mary had. We have heard the news about Jesus' resurrection, and that has already had effect in us, even as we prayed, "Let Christ, the true light and morning star, shine in our hearts. He who gives light to all creation, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever." Yet the gloom of darkness, even a defeated darkness, still lingers. It lingers as we go through the various ways that the Lord's order is challenged and even upended for a bit. And even we will face the darkness of death and the grave. But that darkness will not be a permanent condition. We are meant to experience the light that the Lord brings through the work of his Christ. This evening, with the new fire and the tapers lit from the Paschal candle, symbolizes that light of Christ breaking into our lives. Our joyous celebration tomorrow morning will foreshadow what will become permanent for us. For we also will be called by name. We also will be summoned out of darkness. We also will be brought from death to life by the crucified and risen Lord Jesus, whom we shall see with our own eyes. And then we will fully know the truth about the divine action that has been done for us, that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.